This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman, and we're here breaking down Indiana's 33-31 win over Western Kentucky that was on the road in Bowling Green on Saturday night. A bigger test coming up this Saturday night, October 2nd at 7:30 p.m. The game is on ESPN under the lights at number 4, Penn State. The early season schedule for Indiana, we knew it was hard. But it has gotten a lot more difficult on paper with these early season Big Ten games, TJ. Going back to Western Kentucky, let's look at that game real quick. But first, how are you doing?
Doing very well. Yeah, Western Kentucky was a game that I feel like we were properly cautious of that contest going in. I know the IU coaches had a lot of respect for what the Hilltoppers could do on offense, and that, you know, came to fruition. I think that we attempted to let people know, like, hey, this is a really difficult offense to go up against. IU is not going to play another team that runs that type of scheme all year. So it was a very interesting game, one that, you know, was very stressful. It was interesting because IU really had control of that contest right at the start, where it felt like, okay, maybe this is not going to be what we thought it was. Maybe it's just going to be a standard laugher of a non-conference game. But it became clear pretty quick once Western Kentucky got into a bit of a rhythm on offense that we were going to be in for a difficult night, and that's what happened. I think Indiana made just enough plays on both sides of the ball, the offense getting it done late when they absolutely had to, getting a couple of key first downs, and then the defense getting a couple of stops late to get out of there with the victory that was very hard-earned and also very costly, as IU lost DJ Matthews for the year. We'll talk about what that means. But overall, statistically, a really odd game to look at. I mean, how often do you see a team with 35 first downs? That's an absurd number of first downs. And what that does, that tells you two things. In the positive sense, it tells you that IU was doing a really good job of moving the chains. Obviously, you get 35 first downs. You're doing a very nice job of keeping yourself out of negative plays and moving forward. However, you're not doing a very good job of getting any explosion on offense whatsoever. Indiana was really, if you think of a sequence, first, second, third down, each sequence, IU was getting like 11, 12 yards, doing just enough to get a first down, but not quite enough to have any explosive plays. It was a very odd game to watch in that sense. Indiana ends up putting up 507 yards with 35 first downs. I can't remember a game where IU had that many first downs.
And only 10 drives to do it. So they added, you know, 3.5 first downs per drive and basically 50 yards per drive, which, you know, if they converted a couple of those short field goals and touchdowns, it's a whole different story and people are feeling a lot better. And that's one thing. I think the fan base is undervaluing this win. You know, they say we're too dependent. IU's too dependent on big plays, but yeah, they had 15 explosion plays that are categorized as runs over 10 yards and passes over 15. But there were not any real home run plays. So it's odd what this fan base is thinking and things like that, but it's okay. You know, they're not our boys. We watch the games ourselves. Very costly game in terms of injuries with DJ Matthews going out. I think that kind of changed the offense too. He's a guy who in the red zone would be a big factor. And I think IU puts up more than 33 points if he does not go out of the game. For those of you who missed it, it was announced today that he tore his ACL. He's out for the year. It happened on a punt return, a non-contact, just misstep on a punt that went over his head. You know, he didn't misplay it, really. He it went over his head. It was a tough catch, and he was trying to cover it and misstepped, and his knee just went out. And then we'll see who steps up there. We'll have an article coming up this week as well on that. Another injury that people aren't talking about, David Ellis went out early. He should be back, but he's been banged up for the better part of two seasons now. And he's a guy who could slide into that slot role that DJ Matthews was in. And also Jalen Williams went down with a concussion. Allen said today he was progressing well through concussion protocol, but IU tends to be on the longer side of concussion protocol. I wouldn't personally expect him back against Penn State. If he's back, great. But we've seen it before where, plays that looked a lot less bad than what happened to Jalen Williams last a lot longer. So we'll see. Those are the big injuries to talk about. But overall, it's a win. It was a road win against a crowd that had set the stadium record for attendance, even though it's only like 22 or 23,000. There's a blackout. They were loud. They wanted to win. That offense was spectacular for Western Kentucky. They really know how to run the air raid with the veteran quarterback and wide receivers who have been together forever, along with the offensive coordinator. So I think it's not the greatest win in the world, but I think it is an undervalued win. It gets you back. It gets IU back on track and heading to Penn State, where they'll face the number 4 Nittany Lions under the lights. And as a pure college football fan, I can't wait to see a night game at Happy Valley. It stinks that it's going to be against IU, but hey, yeah. Stranger things have happened, but it's going to be awesome. I think it's a stripe out. That's what our other writers on the site were saying in our group text. If you're looking at it as a fan, TJ, what do you need IU to do at Penn State that'll make you feel confident that this team has turned it around since Iowa?
I think being competitive into the second half, and by competitive, I mean first, you got to get out of like the first 5-10 minutes of that game where you're still very much in it. I think we all remember you go at Iowa, immediately get punched in the mouth once, twice, three times. You're down 14-0 and never really even looked like you were close to getting back into that game. So I think having the first 5 or 10 minutes where you just settle into the game and still be in it after that, that's progress from where we saw in week one. And then I think taking that further, getting into the second half in that environment where you are right there really making them work, I would feel better about things than I do at this present time. I don't think that expecting to go there and win, now this is obviously not the mindset the players and coaches need to have, but honestly, what we think about it has truly no impact on the game whatsoever, as much as I'd like to consider that my pacing and you know, if IU's doing well, I don't change the channel even on commercials. I'd like to think that that matters, but I know deep down it doesn't. So what we think about it doesn't matter. But our mindset, I don't think going there expecting a win is all that realistic. So for me, it's showing more competitiveness. I want to see from the offense, how do you replace the explosiveness that DJ Matthews brought to the offense? Because I think what we're left with now is a lot of not big-bodied guys, but possession-type receivers that IU has now. They are good players, and Ty Freifogel, you know, we criticized him after the Cincinnati game, rightfully so. We also need to rightfully give him credit for, I thought he played very well against Western Kentucky, stepped up, made some really nice catches in key spots that helped Indiana secure that victory. But he's not an over-the-top guy that's going to beat a defense, get past the corner, get behind the safety, and make a huge play. That's just not going to happen with Freifogel. It's not going to happen with Miles Marshall very often. I wonder which guys are going to step up if IU has them on the roster right now that are ready to contribute. We don't know that. Who's going to step up and be able to take the top off of a defense, make an explosive play? You know, we saw Stearns for Western Kentucky. He is quick in a way that I don't think IU has on their roster right now that we've seen at wide receiver. That he could take a 5-yard tunnel screen completion and turn it into 30 just by getting through a little window and being faster than everybody else. So I'm really curious to see how Indiana is going to address that. Tom Allen said today at his media availability, he mentioned a few names, Malachi Holt-Bennett, Jacoby Hewitt, who we saw a little bit in that second half. That was good to see. And then Jordan Williams. So some receivers that we haven't seen any of that are going to be asked to maybe make some plays. They have to find the ability, whether it's through scheme or personnel, to make some big plays, because you are not going to be able to control the ball with an offense that's moving it just methodically down the field. That's not going to happen against Penn State. It will not happen against that defense. The Penn State defense is closer to the Iowa-Cincinnati defense than we saw from Western Kentucky. Much, much closer to those two really strong defenses. So we're going to have to see what progress the offense has made, what progress Michael Penix has made from the games against Iowa and Cincinnati to Saturday night in Happy Valley. That's going to be the key thing to look for. On the other side of the ball, how does Indiana slow down the receivers, Parker Washington and Jahan Dotson, who are probably the second best duo that IU is going to see this season? It's going to be a huge challenge for IU, the secondary, and they've got to get pressure on Sean Clifford. We've talked about this before. If you don't get pressure on the quarterback and they have good receivers, that offense is going to win out 95% of the time. It does not matter how good your secondary is if you can't get pressure on the quarterback. So those are kind of the two key things that stand out to me heading into Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, it's going to change the offense a little bit in what you do. And, you know, you saw the trick play, the double reverse, flea flicker, whatever you want to call it, that they ran on the first drive with DJ Matthews and things like that. It just takes away a player that you know you have to, the defense has to respect. And if they don't, he could take the top off. It also takes away a real weapon in the punt return game. And we've been talking about this as a group, TJ, as well. Well, now your depth of punt returner takes a hit too. Yep. Your depth at corner has taken a hit a little bit with injuries. So Reese Taylor returning punts, he's really good at it as well, but you also need him. He's more important to the secondary than he is returning punts. So maybe they fill somebody in there as well. So we'll see. But, you know, going into
that might be, I don't even know. Have we seen anybody else take a crack at that? I can't think of another guy outside of Reese or Matthews that we've seen back there in the past this season or last. And I'm sure I'm wrong about that, but is that something that Hewitt is capable of doing? He's kind of the next guy up that I would think of, given, you know, that he is on the kickoff return side. I don't know. But I'm not comfortable having Reese. You're right, he's very good, but I'm not comfortable having him back there with Jalen Williams already out.
Yeah, it's probably when we get to the game, I'll look at warmups, and I was not paying that much attention to who the third string punt returner was in warmups last week, because I didn't think that I would have to know. But maybe Jacoby Hewitt, he's been returning kicks there as well. Maybe you put Tim Baldwin's been fumbling a lot. And things like that. Maybe you put Javon Swinton back there. Maybe bring one of these freshmen along. Deshaun Brown is supposedly the fastest guy on the team. He hasn't played a lot. So maybe you put him in there. Do you go with Brian Fitzgerald returned to kickoff earlier this year as an up guy on the kickoff team? Do you look, you know, to somebody like that?
And have you now switched your focus as a coaching staff to largely just saying, all right, we're just looking to fair catch these now? I doubt it. You know, I don't think you want to do that because you're giving up yardage, but it's going to be an interesting thing to play out. Of course, we hope we see a lot of it. Hope we see a lot of punt return, you know, so we can analyze that, because that means IU's defense is getting stops. That's going to be one of the interesting things to play out. I want to ask you, I thought Stephen Carr looked good on Saturday night. I thought that he ran the ball well. I thought he ran it very hard. It was tough to bring down for Western Kentucky. Do you feel like the IU coaching staff, and perhaps this is a Dalen McCullough thing, do you think that his usage rate is going to go up as the season goes on, or do you think that they are carefully monitoring how much they use him? Because we saw some instances down inside the, you know, the 10-yard line, even that Chris Childers was in the game getting snaps instead of Stephen Carr. It didn't last very long, and Carr got back out there. But I do wonder if they're carefully monitoring kind of his usage and if you think that'll go up. But I think he's a pretty key part of this offense. I think he's looked good so far.
Yeah. He's run the ball 87 times in four games, which I'm not sure how that would compare with Stevie Scott. But the next guy in line is Tim Baldwin at 27. They just don't run the ball as much as they throw it.
And kind of that with Idaho too.
Actually, that's not true. Indiana's run the ball more than they've thrown it, but it doesn't seem that way.
A ton of it's Idaho though. Idaho was so skewed.
Yep.
To running, but
yeah, here's the thing with Stephen Carr. I think he had 25 carries against Western Kentucky. That's probably on the high end of, that's the high end. Indiana against outside of Idaho, they don't have more than 40 rushes per game. They rushed 31 times against Iowa, 37 against Cincinnati, and 39 against Western Kentucky. So he's getting the majority. He's getting 2/3 of the carries. I don't know how much you can increase his workload because he's also catching balls out of the backfield now, which is fantastic.
Yes.
But he has 5 catches. So that's over 90 touches already. And you're a quarter way through the season. He's not going to get the ball 400 times. It's just that it doesn't happen anymore. So they need somebody else to, and I think they're trying to figure out who they trust. And I think Tim Baldwin's got to be falling out of favoritism there. He's fumbled twice. Last week was they were lucky to get that ball back, but that would have been another crucial fourth quarter fumble that he would have given up, and it probably cost them the Cincinnati game as well. But do you, now with David Ellis moving to wide receiver, does he get that? But, you know, there's a lot of – they haven't used David Holloman at all. He only has 1 carry or 5 carries for 10 yards. They have used Chris Childers. He has 7 attempts. Davion Irvin Poindexter has 6 attempts. So running back depth is going to come into play. And that's something that, you know, if you're going to control the game or try and control the game against Penn State, you have to be able to run the ball. That was the key to the Western Kentucky game. IU held the ball for nearly 40 minutes, held Western Kentucky to 9 drives, and they scored on theirs and give them credit. But you limited their opportunities to where IU 5 field goals or 4 field goals really helped IU. So we'll see. My expectation for Penn State, TJ, to get back on that question, you're right. It's you have to be better than you were at Iowa. And it can't be much worse than you were against Iowa. Can you
no.
Can you come out and show that you belong on the same field as Penn State? And Penn State has been foaming at the mouth to get another shot at Indiana because last year they think that game got stolen from them. And it did. I mean, they had an 8-point lead, an 8-point lead with a couple minutes left, and they had like a 95% chance of winning. And if they had just taken a knee at the 1, they win that game. Yeah, it kind of got stolen, but they think the refs gave it to Indiana and you know, it's a little taste of their own medicine. So they're foaming at the mouth. It's been in their head all summer. I can't tell you how many Penn State fans have commented either on the site, on Twitter, or social media. And so they're going to be hyped and ready to go to prove that last year was a total fluke and to continue their run maybe to a Big Ten title and a college football playoff berth this year. But you be competitive, make it a game into the fourth quarter and see what happens. Because IU's played Penn State pretty well the last few years, even going into Penn State and having a chance to win, even though it's a place that they have never won before. And it's going to be – they've never played a night game there. It is a different animal at night than it is at a sleepy noon game in Happy Valley. So just make it, get out of there healthy, make it competitive through the fourth quarter. And if you just don't shoot yourself in the foot, if Indiana plays to the top of its ability and Penn State still beats it, there's nothing much you could do. That's just, but if it comes out like Cincinnati and Iowa where you go, we all know that IU could play better. And that's what stings. It's when that happens and you make those mistakes and lose, that's when it hurts the most. Teams are going to be better than IU. That's just a fact of life. And if they both play their A games, Penn State's probably going to win. You just hope that it doesn't turn out like a couple of trips where they return an opening kickoff for a touchdown, or there's an early turnover and things like that, and get this crowd absolutely bonkers. Besides that, TJ, what's your matchup to watch against Penn State?
Yeah, I'm going to go with IU's secondary. You know, we can narrow it in on Reese Taylor and Tywan Mullen going against Penn State's receivers. Jahan Dotson is one of the best in the country. Already 27 catches, 362 yards, and four touchdowns. Parker Washington, kind of his number two, 23 catches, two touchdowns, both averaging over 13 yards a catch. And then they've got a couple of other guys as well, mainly Keandre Lambert-Smith, who's averaging over 18 yards a catch on 11 receptions. That's a lot of numbers. To boil it down to the simple statement, their receivers are really, really good. And their offense makes good use of those receivers. They will take a lot of deep shots. They will try and stretch the field vertically. Secondary is going to have to be on their A game on Saturday night. So that's my matchup to watch. A secondary one, Michael Penix looked better against Western Kentucky, particularly that second half. He made some throws that made you kind of, you know, raise your eyebrows a little bit. It looked like Michael Penix from 2019 and early 2020. It looked like a guy that could lead Indiana to some upset victories here moving forward because he was throwing with that velocity again. It looked like he had some confidence back. And I think that there's definitely something to be said for that. He needed that. I want to see it against a good defense now because Western Kentucky, they are, I think, a legitimate threat to win Conference USA. I think that offense is going to score on everybody they play, but the defense is not very good. Indiana moved the ball at will until they got down in the scoring territory, and then they had to settle for a lot of field goals. I want to see Michael Penix do that performance, improving red zone efficiency, obviously, but against a good defense, and we're going to get that test on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. My matchup to watch is going to be Indiana's ability to get takeaways and to rattle Sean Clifford. He's been playing really well, Penn State's quarterback. Last year, you know, coming into the season, he was a big question mark and one of the reasons why Penn State was so down in the rankings, and he probably was seen as holding him back. He has a history of throwing interceptions. He's only thrown two this year. Can Indiana's defense get back to creating those takeaways? And I think that comes with Indiana's defensive line going against Penn State's offensive line, and can they get pressure? The ball's not going to come out as fast as it did last week. Can they get pressure? Excuse me. Can they get pressure with Ryder Anderson and Jaron Handy and those guys to force Sean Clifford to make those same mistakes that he has in the past against IU? That's my matchup to watch. TJ, your key to victory. If Indiana's going to walk out of Happy Valley on probably early Sunday morning with a win for the first time ever, what's got to happen?
Well, a lot is going to have to go right. To boil it down to one simple thing, I think you mentioned takeaways. I would choose between that or red zone or scoring territory efficiency, because it's not even red zone, really. It's like the 30 and onward. Anytime IU gets into scoring territory, they've got to get points, and more times than not, those need to be touchdowns. They are not going to have the number of successful drives that they had against Western Kentucky. The hope is that they will be able to convert more drives into touchdowns than what they had to settle for at the field goals, which, credit to Charles Campbell, he was great again on Saturday. You know, he's a weapon to have for sure. And I'm not suggesting that IU needs to start going for it on fourth and two from the, you know, the 30-yard line. Not suggesting that. Sometimes that's appropriate. Sometimes you take the points, especially when you have a kicker as reliable as Campbell. But what the offense needs to do is find some ways to punch those drives to get to that 30-yard line, that 25-yard line, and stall out. They've got to figure out a way to get those beyond that and into the end zone for touchdowns. So I think that scoring zone efficiency is going to be something to really, really watch for, not just against Penn State, but the rest of the year moving forward. It's something IU really has to drastically improve at.
Yeah, and that's something I thought IU did really well against Western Kentucky was, hey, we're not going to get super duper aggressive. We need the points. And yeah. It took a lot of – I don't want to say it took a lot of guts to do it, but it probably – you fight the feeling of, hey, we could get these 2-3 yards and forego the field goal. But I thought it took a lot of self-discipline to say, hey, let's get – trust our kicker. Let's get these 3 points. And it ended up being the difference in the game. So they can't – and sometimes it's okay to settle for field goals. I probably should have done that against Cincinnati, and they learned their lesson. But against Penn State on the road, you know, if it's 4th and 1, early in the game you probably take the 3. But later in the game, you're probably going to have to go for it and try and score 7. And things like that. So it's going to be a tough one. What's your prediction for Saturday?
Well, I have not seen the over under. I know Penn State opened at, I want to say 11 or 11 and a half. Is that accurate? 11 or 11 and a half point favorites over the Hoosiers. I do think Penn State's going to win this game. It is difficult to predict something that has never happened before. So it's difficult to project an Indiana win in State College. But I do think IU is going to play pretty well. For whatever reason, I think that they do kind of match up fairly well with Penn State's personnel and schemes. Ultimately, Penn State's personnel just ends up being a little more talented. And like you said earlier, if you play your best and Penn State just beats you, I think we can all handle that. Now, the issue is it drops you to 2-3, but you'll be able to go into your bye week looking at the next game against Michigan State, feeling like you've got some things figured out. And that you can go into that game with confidence. So I think IU is going to play well. Penn State, though, comes out with a victory. I'm going to go Penn State winning this one 30-20. 30-20 in favor of Penn State.
So I think the under is at 52, so you'd be under.
Well, that's no fun. You don't get enjoyment betting the under in college football, let me tell you.
No. Anyway, my prediction, TJ, is a lot like yours. It's hard to predict an Indiana win in a place they've never won before, especially given how they've played on the road against top 25 teams this year. I'm going to go. I think Penn State has a lot going for them. Even though their wins really haven't been that impressive, you know, they won at Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's having a lot of trouble. They won that 16-10. They beat Ball State, who's now 1-3. They beat them by 31 points. They beat an Auburn team who had a lot of trouble with Georgia State last week at home, 28-20. And they beat FCS Villanova, who's usually a very good FCS team. They beat them only by 38-17. So, you know, there's a lot of craziness going on in college football this year, and it shot Penn State up the rankings to 4. They got a lot of credit for that win at Wisconsin, which they should. That's a good win for them, even though Wisconsin's kind of down. But what do we really know about Penn State heading into this game? And really, what do we know about most of the teams in college football heading into Week 5? We'll find out soon. I think Penn State's gonna take the win. I'm gonna take them 31 Indiana 20. So just right off of that, TJ, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and one point that I do want to make sure that we mention, Andy Hipskind, Indiana's chief medical officer, which is just a title, but you know, he did have a lot of interaction with student athletes on the football team. He had been the football team physician for the Hoosiers, and he passed away from cancer at the age of 48. So if you're seeing AH patches on jerseys or helmets or hats, that is for Andy Hipskind, and I know he meant a lot to a lot of people in the program, and it was a difficult loss for that community, and thoughts to his family for sure. I thought it was a very classy gesture of Michael Penix to mention him in his post-game interview and you mention his family that they were thinking of him. You know, it is a game, it's football, and we obviously, you know, the primary thing that we focus on here as a site is wins and losses and the performance of the team. But I did want to mention that. I think that, you know, it was a classy act by Michael Penix to mention him in the post-game interview and bring some light to that tragedy. So wanted to mention that before we move on any further.
Yeah, and Tom Allen mentioned him in the post game on Saturday night and how important he was to this team, and that he told Andy that this team is going to keep fighting just like he kept fighting against cancer, albeit an unfortunate end to that battle. But it's something they're going to honor him all season, and I'm sure they're going to do something special here in the next few weeks, maybe at homecoming. His home game. So it's something to keep an eye on, and our thoughts go out to the Hipskind family as well, because he was a huge part of that, of the football program. Anyway, TJ, that does it for tonight's show. Thank you for joining us as always, and we'll be previewing Penn State all week with some player features as well. Again, the game kicks off at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday night under the lights at Happy Valley on October 2nd. Keep tuned in to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Join our Facebook and Instagram followers as well. TJ, have a great week, and we'll be back next week as IU heads into their open week before hosting Michigan State for homecoming on October 16th.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening, and please do check out some of the stuff on the site. There's bowl projections are up. I do those. I'm slightly more optimistic than most for IU's chances right now. Not that I have them going to a great game, but I think we'd all take just a bowl game period at this point in time, and that's where I've got them going, is to a bowl game. And then a lot of other really good articles from our other writers coming out. So give that a look and get yourself ready for big game Saturday night, another chance for exposure for the program on national TV, which is usually never a bad thing.
Correct. All right. Thank you. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Monday with a breakdown of the Penn State game. Heading into the bye week, we'll give you something to listen to as well. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, and tune in Saturday night on ESPN at 7:30.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.